votes to meet up, but almost the one common theme for the last 2 months has been what is the definition of ru'iyah? What exactly constitutes a ru'iyah's nidus to kick in the status of nidus, either min haTorah, min haRabbanan? We spoke about ru'iyah's nidus in the sense of the requirement of hargasha, whatever that meant. And we spoke a little bit recently about ru'iyah's nida, and there wasn't no actual ru'iyah's dam. The opening of the uterus constitutes the chashash of ru'iyah's nidus. And we spoke a little bit about last week or two about the color. And even if there's a ru'iyah's dam, but it's not a dam, a proper halachic color and shade, it's also not considered to be ru'iyah's nidus. So now we move on to the next topic, which is also part of the defining of ru'iyah, what constitutes a ru'iyah, what constitutes according to what's in the blood. This next topic is really a topic of itself, but in Shulchan Aruch, it was a fairly short topic, so we guess Bacham didn't know exactly where to put it, so we stuck it in with the Din of Maros, stuck it in with the end of the Simba around different colors. So the first half of the Simba talks about the reds and the browns and the yellows, and then the end talks about this aloha. So again, it's not directly related, but we're going to talk about it now because, like in Shulchan Aruch, there's no other place to put it. It's a fairly isolated topic. It's a topic that at first glance doesn't seem to be too relevant, but may have some very potentially very, very, very real practical applications. So let's take a look at the. It's on page 13. It's the ninth of the Marma Kogel, so it's still technically part of the color topic. So page 13, the ninth of the Marma Kogel. So the Rambam said, "Zidin Achapal Bominei Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Zeira." Rabbi Yirmiyah posed the question for Rabbi Zeira. If a woman sees blood through a tube, does she become tamea or does she remain tahora? So it sounds like there was dam. So it seems to meet all the other criteria. There was ru'iyah's dam. There was hagasha. It's a color of red. But something very strange here. There was some kind of a tube inserted, and it's not clear where yet. We'll have to see where this tube exactly inserted. The tube was inserted, and the blood sample was flowing through the tube. So rather than the blood coming in a normal manner through a body, it's somehow exiting a body through the tube. What does that make any difference whatsoever? So should we argue that the Vesara Amrachamana Velobishraferis, when the Torah describes a woman becoming an Ida, so it uses the phrase Bivisara, literally in our flesh. So maybe one could argue that that phrase, Dami Yazova Bivisara, is coming to exclude that the Dam is not Derech Bivisara, the Dam is not coming through our flesh, but it's coming through something else. So maybe that's a Torah, maybe that's not considered to be a Arias Dam. Although, maybe we got the whole thing wrong. Maybe that's not the meaning of the word Bivisara. Hai Bivisara, the violation, the Tav Bivifnim Kibachutz. Maybe the meaning of this word Bivisara is not of the connotation to exclude the Dam Bishma Ferris, the Dam coming through a tube. Rather, maybe Bivisara is coming to teach us that she becomes a Nida even though the blood hasn't exited yet, even though it's still Bivisara, it's still technically inside her flesh, it's still within her body, she's still Asura. What would that mean? That's the phrase that the Mishnah speaks about, it's called Batavu Bivifnim Kibachutz. That a woman becomes a Nida even though the blood hasn't totally exited yet, it's still Mibifnim. What does it mean? Where has the blood gone to? So the Mishnah describes that it's left what we call the bayis apnimi, and it's now into the bayis achitzel. So basically, Chazal described the woman, the anatomy, as being two halachic parts. There's the inner chamber and the outer chamber. The inner chamber, we know, is the source where the blood comes from. That's the uterus. We call the womb the uterus, the rechem. And the outer chamber seems to be almost what we would probably call like the vaginal area. So it's still technically in the body, it's still within the body cavity, but it's exited the bayis apnimi and now in the bayis achitzon. So that's considered to be the point when the woman becomes a nida. So in theory, she doesn't even know about this blood. In theory, a woman could be a nida without even knowing it. Now, in practically, it's not, I think, very long. Once it's already left the uterus, it's in the vaginal area. The time comes out, it's not going to be that much time. But sometimes, at least theoretically, it could be a little bit of a delay action. You could have a woman who's already an Ida and isn't quite aware of it. Do we have to be concerned with that ever? Does that play a role in Chusnida? So the very first Mishnah of Masechet Nida talks about that topic. And the Mishnah of the Gemara draws a distinction as follows. Vis-a-vis the het of Labayla, in terms of Kitchibu, the husband, so the Mishnah said, what you don't know doesn't hurt you. You don't have to assume that, oh, maybe my wife already became an Ida, and I don't know about it because the blood already exited the inner. It's in the outer, and somehow it's being held up along the way. You don't have to be concerned. It's very, very unlikely. But in the realm of Karbanos, in the realm of Tumah Tahara, so Chazal were extra, especially careful. And they said that, let's say, a woman gets her Rias Nidus today. So 7:30 in the morning, she gets her Rias Nidus. So if you would have asked me, I would have said that anything that she touched at 7 o'clock is still tar. Anything she touched last night is still tar. If she just sees the bleeding now, we can assume the bleeding came right now. So the first Mishnah Nidus says no. There's a Chubba Midrabbanan, it's called Tumas Ve'Eis La'Eis. That we're concerned that maybe she was really a Nida beforehand. Maybe as much as possibly 24 hours beforehand. Maybe she saw the blood, not physically, but halakhically, quote unquote, saw the blood 24 hours ago, and maybe it's just been sitting in the Vayis Achitza, for some reason didn't quite come out yet. If it was unlikely that happened, maybe it's possible that it happened. And therefore, but the Rabbanan, they made a Chumrah in the realm of Kachim, only the Kachim, not other things, in the realm of Kachim, they said that any korban, any kachim that the woman touched in the last 24 hours is tamei midrabbanan. That's what Tumas Ve'Eis La'Eis.
Do we have by a kohen that finds out that he was possibly tamei the day before? We're not mevatel those korbanos.
Well, if it really turns out that he was, then the korbanos were possible. Yeah.
But if it's suffering.
So minat Torah, it's clear from the very first sugi of the Nida, minat Torah, none of this is a concern, because minat Torah, she has what's called the chazaka. She has the cheskes Torah. Her status quo is for the last 2 weeks she was Torah, and now 7:30 in the morning she finds blood. So we assume from here on in she's tamei.
Right.
Before she was Torah. So midderaisi fal chazaka, but there was still a chumah midderabbanan that was instituted called Tumas Ve'Eis La'Eis. So that did. There's no relevance to us, but the reason for that takanas chadum was because there is a din in the Torah that the woman is metamei mibefnim kibachutz, and therefore it's possible that she became tibeah without her even knowing about it. So because of that off chance possibility, they instituted this chumah, but they only instituted the chumah vis-a-vis kabbalah, not even the gabi truma that it instituted, only gabi kabbalahs. This takanas chadum is such an old takana. Of Tumas Ve'Eis La'Eis, for us, doesn't really speak to us, but it's not the same. But this takana was the subject of a dispute between Hillel and Shammai. I said carefully, Hillel and Shammai, not based on the Shammai. The first Mishnah in the quotes that it was actually a chlekes atarim. Hillel and Shammai, should we make this takana now? Shammai said, no, there's no need to make this takana. Shammai Omer, the first Mishnah in the opens up with Shammai Omer, Noshim Dayan Shaitun. And Hillel came up with this takana, and then the Gemara has a little bit of a different version of what the takana was. But this was an old machlokes between the Rav Hillel and Shammai. This was one of the very few machlokes between Hillel and Shammai. It was it has three or four different machlokes that the Rav themselves Hillel and Shammai had. All the machlokes that we're familiar with, or from Tamidei Shammai Hillel, from Bei Shammai Hillel, the Rashivas themselves had very, very few machlokes, but this was in fact one of them. It just goes to show that, you know, sometimes people think that everything's a machlokes. He said, if you think about it, in the days of Hillel and Shammai, everybody agreed to all the facts. Everyone agreed to the ABCs of Hilchos Nida. Everyone agreed to the din of Metam Bifnim Kibachutz. Everyone agreed to the din of Chazaka Meikar. Everyone agreed to everything. And now that we're having a machlokes about a detail of what do you do when the woman touched the carpet at 6 o'clock in the morning, now she became to bed at 7 o'clock in the morning, Midrabbanan, she would institute a Chumul Mafraya retroactively or not. So that was just gives you an idea that in terms of the basics halacha, everyone agreed to the ABCs.
Does the Gemara talk about the only thing that would really be relevant? I mean, would be that have implication would be Korban Pesach.
No, it would be anything she touched.
No, meaning because it's again to like the whole chabura, meaning that so then everybody ate the tumah.
Right. Okay. Right. So again, according to that view, that she's to be the Korban Pesach on a butaka telephone, they can't eat the Korban Pesach. That's what the Rambam writes in his introduction to Bereishis Mishnayos, that sometimes when you learn Shas, so you get into this mistaken notion that everything's a machlokes. The Rambam says, if you look carefully, every machlokes that there is, everyone agreed to the 100 points that led up to that machlokes. They're arguing about it, akuda, shibra, like, last night we spoke about the Shia, about machlokes, about Bishul. Machlokes Rambam, everyone agrees to the basic, everything along the way, everyone agrees to. And then the last point is the point of dispute. So it's over here. So the Gemara says that this pasuk of Sarah teaches us that a woman is tamei b'fnim kibachutz. So maybe we wanted to dash in from b'psara something else. We wanted to say that b'psara teaches us that if a woman sees dam in a shreferesh, she's dam in a tube, so somehow that's a p'tor, that's a b'tahir. So the Gemara says not so simple. maybe the word b'sara is necessary to teach me metavah flu b'chutz. And once the pasuk is used for one thing, it can't be used for something else. So that was the question Rabbi Yehuda posed to Rabbi Zeira. So in the ninth of Amakamah, so Rabbi Zeira responded, "Amalei b'sara amrach marav lo b'shvaferes." That is the conclusion of the Gemara. There is such a din of b'sara lo b'shvaferes. The violation of Tav B'Fnim Ki B'Chutz, because if the whole purpose of the words B'Fsar is only to teach me the din of the Tav B'Fnim Ki B'Chutz, Im Kei Neima Kura B'Bosar. So the Torah could have said, in the flesh, by B'Fsara, Shema B'Natayat. It's almost like a double drush, it's like a superfluous letter. So the Torah Shabbat explains to us that that magic word B'Fsar teaches us two things. It teaches us that, number one, the Tav B'Fnim Ki B'Chutz, that she becomes Tavea once the blood exits the uterus, even though it hasn't yet exited the body. That's din number one. And din number two, it teaches us the second Petur called V'lo B'Shveferes. So the second Petur that becomes the subject of asking you now, what exactly is the nature of this din of B'Shveferes? Well, there's definitely a possible. There's a Kosov. The blood that comes out of Derech HaShveferes is not considered to be a problem. So the Rosh, in the 10th of the Rambam Kavos, has a comment on what the nature of this din is. What's the nature of this drasha of Navalo B'Shveferes? So we take a look at the second line. The Rosh is in the middle of a complicated machlokes at Tanoim. The part that we need is, in the second line, right around the middle of the line, Rabbanan Sabre, that the Rabbanan, who can pass the like's opinion, is Taimat and Matinan Shveferes. The reason why Shveferes is exempted, is excluded from Nidus, Yishum De'ein Darko Shal Isha L'Rosdam Kach. Because it's not normal. This is part of the normal halachas. Maybe we're coming to the Tuesday night shiurim. We're talking a lot about Isuri Achila and Isuri Hanah. A person does something and he does it in an abnormal fashion. So a guy eats raw meat instead of cooked tray for meat. A person on Shabbos writes with his left hand instead of his right hand. You know, there are many did it in Shabbos and Kol Terekula that revolve around normalcy. Torah wants us to do things in a normal manner. So too, the halacha rias nidus makes sense when the woman is experiencing rias dam in a normal fashion. A normal woman gets a period, so she bleeds, finished. She stuck a tube inside her body, now the blood's coming derech the tube, so she has a shirt, that was a crazy, bizarre way of experiencing a quote-unquote rias nidus, that it's mufka from the parashat nidus. So the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara just says, exists the custom, but it's the kashas, and move on. But the Rosh put a little bit of a almost a logical spin to this tzeres HaKosov. And he said that if you look carefully in the Gemara, it seems to be that this din is related almost to a general question of Riyas Dam in a Darka B'Kach or Ein Darka B'Kach. So the nature of the Ptur, of the nature of the Vitaya of Riyas Dam B'Shveferes is based on the idea that it fails in meeting that criteria of Riyas Dam B'Derech Riyah. The question becomes, what exactly do those words mean? What precisely is Shaloka Derech about the tube? Okay, we obviously know, you stick a tube into your body, you have a period, but it doesn't look right, it doesn't sound right, it sounds pretty bizarre, but we have to focus in precisely what is so strange about the Riyas Dam B'Shveferes. So the Badia Shulchan, 11th of the Rambam Kamus, references a major machlokes, the Gedalia Poskim, which may potentially have a very, very real nafkamin with demons. We have to still hope to work in the world of theory, still try to understand what this Shaloka Derech is. The Rosh was the one who created this almost new category of Shaloka Derech as the beer, as the understanding of the tour of the tire of Shveferes. And now, the Vanei Shulchan references the Machlek Zachron, what is Shaloka Derech? What is it about Riyas Dam B'Shveferes that makes it so bizarre? So let's take a look at the Vanei Shulchan Shem. Those who were able to see the Bada Shulchan's letters, Shveferes v'tzir v'adam tarim. The time of the Milsa, the Reisha ein derech v'yir v'kach. This is a quote right out of the Rosh, Kanal. V'nechnetu ha'poskim v'bir din zeh. It's a big machlekes ha'poskim. What is it that's strange about the Shveferes? V'yesha kosvim, there are those who wrote, the choshim shalom k'derech v'yir, the reason why it's considered to be not normal, v'bnei she'adam u'besocha shveferes, because the blood is exiting inside the tube, and it doesn't touch the walls of the Bayis Achitzon. Remember we said that the moment of truth that makes the woman to a nidah is when the blood exits the Bayis Apnimi, which for now we're translating just to mean the uterus. So at the moment of truth, when it exits the uterus, the halacha dictates it has to exit derech habosar. It's got to touch the flesh, got to touch the skin, it's got to touch the walls of the Bayis Achitzon as it's coming out. As it's exiting the uterus, v'darko shariyas dam, when the b'rigiyas adam b'gufayisha, she yotzi me'amokor. A normal woman, when she bleeds, the blood touches the walls of the Bayis Achitzot. This woman is not Shulgunu. She has a tube inside her body, so the blood's not touching the walls. That's the Shulakidev. Well, if he bears that, according to this understanding, Afilu im lo hechnisa shpaferes ad lesocha lafar, according to this first understanding, how deep in, how far in is this tube? So the tube need not go into the uterus. There's no reason for the tube to go into the uterus. Where the tube has to be placed is El Hamidoso al Pesach Hamoka. It's got to be right at the opening of the uterus, because the moment of Tumah is as it goes past that opening. We'll see in a moment. We'll see that there's a big machlokes with which opening that is. There are actually two openings to the uterus. So we'll see in a moment which one we're referring to. So at the moment of truth, when it exits the uterus, and it now is the moment of being Metameh, there better be a tube in place, because at that moment, when we're being done, whether she's tibet or not, we have to declare Shalok HaDerech, and Shalok HaDerech, by definition, means that there's a Dabra Mafsik, almost like a Dabra Chaitzetz. But to go into the uterus, what does that go to the uterus for? It's what's happening inside the uterus is completely irrelevant. So again, so the tube is not going to be L'Soch HaMokhi, El HaBidoso HaPesach HaMokhi, Be'ofan Shalom Noga HaDam Yitziyasu V'Esachitza. So if that happens, Gam Kim Tohra. Umi Idach Kisa. However, according to this first interpretation, what if a woman has a tube in place, but the blood comes out not inside the tube, but there's a tube there, right? But the blood comes on the outside of the tube. So some of the blood goes through the tube, and some of the blood ends up almost splattering on the outside of the tube. He Tamea says the first group of posts, can forget, that's not gonna help. Even though the tube was stuck all the way into the mochar, and the tube is somehow bringing about some of that blood, even though the putting of the tube inside is somehow responsible for this dam, it doesn't matter. That's still called derech ri'ah. There's only one thing that makes any bit of difference, is tachas, bottom line. From the moment that the woman should have become tameah, i.e., from the moment that the blood exits the Bayis HaPnimi and enters into the Bayis HaChitzon, whatever that precise biological line is, if at that moment the blood is inside something, i.e., inside the tube, then she's Tohra.
If it goes outside the tube, even if there's a tube.
We'll see what the second view is. So the view of the first group of Poskim is the only thing that determines whether it's called Shalom Kederach is the fact that it's not touching the walls of the outer part, the walls of that moment, of that point in time, between the Bayit Zabim and the Bayit Zachitza. That is the definition of Shalom Kederach. This first group of Poskim, earlier Poskim said this, is basically represented by Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman claims this is the Emes, he says, this is the definition of Riyat Abish Refers. We'll see, as we go on, why that was so critical to Shlomo Zalman's general position about things. V'yesh kasu, however, says the Badin Shulchan, there's another view. The other posts would disagree, and the other view was primarily represented by the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Lala Tanya, who wrote the great Sefer in Halacha. So the Sefer Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he was the leader of the second view. He predated Shulchan Zalman for quite some time. V'yesh kasu, v'bir din zeh, there were those who give an entirely different understanding of this Halacha. Everyone agrees to that. I mean, not everyone, but we're going to work with the Rosh and the Shulchan Aruch's definition of Shalom Kederech Ri'ah. So that's important for us. Shalom Kederech Ri'ah. But says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Eina Mipnei Shalom Nogu V'Bisora. So it's not called Shalom Kederech because the blood didn't touch the wall. So what? Big deal. The blood didn't touch the wall. So why does that make a difference? Ela Mipnei Shari'ah Nigrama Ayideh Shveferes. What makes it Shalom Kederech, says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, is that the tube, the insertion of the tube, was responsible for the blood. The insertion of the tube brought about, hastened the bleeding, caused the bleeding. That's what the Shalom Kederech is. If that's the case, says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, where is this tube going? Placing the tube just on the outside is not going to do anything for you. You have to take this tube and stick the tube all the way into the uterus. So the tube itself has to be responsible for the bleeding. According to Rav Shlomo Zalman, the first view, tube didn't cause the bleeding. The bleeding started by itself. The bleeding came from the inside uterus. The lining is shedding, and the blood's coming out. It bumps into the tube. So it bumps into the tube. It flows through the tube at the moment of truth. That's the Matayor. According to the Shulchan Aruch Rav, that's not doing anything. That's not going to help you. She's Tamei Midaraisa if that happens. What has to happen is the tube has to go all the way inside the uterus. V'otzia misham adam. Well, the Phoebe is there. He tahora davke michnisasu ad l'soch hamochor. According to this, she's only tahora if it goes into the uterus itself. V'ala michnisasu rachat pesach hamochor. If she merely inserted the tube to the outer, to the opening, v'adam yotzei love machmas teva isha, and the blood is coming, not caused by the tube, because the tube is nowhere near the inside, near the lining. The bleeding is coming because she's getting a period. He tameya. Afilu madam isocha shofers l'olam sorry. It doesn't matter where the blood is, that's irrelevant. But a kula of the second version would be, is that if that happens, that you stuck the tube into the uterus, and now the blood comes out, and some of the blood is on the outside of the tube, she's still tahora. Because that's called shaloka derech, because the blood was caused by the tube. So that's the answer to your question. So, uladina yesh lahach mekeperis here. So concludes about the Shulchan, he thinks we should be machmir, like the second view, which is usually the Chumrah, even though there's a little bit of a pool in the second view also, but primarily it's a Chumrah, because according to the first view, no problem, just stick the tube to the opening, according to the second view, it's got to go all the way into the uterus.
So according to the Shulchan Aruch Rav, if a doctor stuck a non-hollow tube, like a real medical instrument,
that's right.
That would be a mater?
Well, we'll get into that. Not so simple. We're gonna get to that, okay? We have a long way to go through the Damaka. That's going to be the next major topic. In the very bottom of this, the bottom of page 13, moving on to page 14. So we have a machlokes poskim, a little bit of, you know, of imagination here in terms of the anatomy, but for the non-doctors here, basically what's happening is that practically speaking, we have machlokes where the tube is going, but more important conceptually, not where the tube is going, what the role of the tube is. According to the second view, the role of the tube is to mamish, in a sense, create the ri'ah. That's what's the mataher. According to the first view, it's not creating the mataher. It's not creating the shaloka derech. It's the ri'ah is being caused naturally. Who cares what the ri'ah is happening? What you're doing is you're almost stopping a natural ri'ah before it becomes a ri'ah. It's taking the tube in before the moment of tumah.
The Mepharshim discussed, I mean, the Gemara's example is unbelievable. Was this something that was done medically, or was this something done to...
The kunz to circumvent it was needed. Not clear. The Gemara doesn't tell us anyone who actually did this.
It's just unbelievable, because the example is not typical any Indian.
That's right. That's probably why it's called Shulchan Aruch. Right. So the question is, where does any of this take us? It's a very dachshund to tell. Where does this take us? So Shlomo Zalman wrote a fortress, Aruchas Nida, years before he became famous as Shlomo Zalman. He didn't even write this as his own sefer. It was a kuntres that was tacked on to a sefer that was written by his uncle. So he was a young man at the time, so I guess he didn't feel no one was going to read it if he writes his own sefer. So he put it as a kuntres and connected it to the back of another sefer. And the topic that Shlomo Zalman was addressing, the challenge that he was trying to overcome, was a challenge that still exists out of Yom HaZeh. The solution to the challenge is radically different than the one of Shlomo Zalman offered at the time. But first, let's understand what the problem was, what his solution was, and we'll touch a little bit on what some of the other solutions was about. The problem was a very, very, in a sense, a simple problem. It's a simple problem that could become a very, very difficult problem. It has to do with the woman's, just her calculation of her days of ovulation. The way the Ribbono Shel Olam made the Teva Ha'odom, most women, the way they have approximately a 30-day cycle, so ovulation usually takes place about 2 weeks before the period, before the next period. So if you just do the simple math, let's say a woman has a 30-day cycle, so she'll usually ovulate around day 16 or so of a cycle. If you chesh bina in terms of a chesnida, so a regular woman, let's say, gets a riyaz dam, so she bleeds from, let's say, from 5 to 7 days, and then she counts shivinakiyim, so most women will get to the mikvah in terms of day of a cycle, counting the first day of the period as day one of the cycle. Most women will get to the mikvah around day 13, day 14, and assuming that they have a 28 to 30 day cycle, they will usually ovulate sometime around day 14, 15, 16. Usually it's going to be pretty, pretty close. Usually, if everything is working normally, so then a woman will get to the mikvah before the time of ovulation, which is what we want to happen. However, every once in a while, you will have a woman who has one of two problems. Either, problems, we want to call them one of two issues, either she has a very short cycle. A woman has a 23-day cycle, so then she'll ovulate closer to around the 10 or so, but not a 10 of our cycle. She's not getting to the mikvah anywhere near that. So she's not getting to the mikvah day 13 or 14, so she basically will never become pregnant. A woman has to get to the mikvah before ovulation, because the moment of ovulation is probably even too late already for the couple to have relations. The moment of possibility to become pregnant is very, very small. The window is about 24 hours or so when the egg is perfectly ready to become fertilized. Unless the couple already had relations a little bit before that time, it's not going to happen. So if let's say she's ovulating on day 11, she's not getting back from the mikvah day 14, she will never become pregnant. Medically, it's not a problem. If you go to the doctor, if you go to a non-firm doctor and say, hey, I have a problem, I can't become pregnant, the doctor will say, what's the big deal? Just have relations 3 days earlier. But obviously, in halacha, that wouldn't be an option. So what do you do about that problem? So this problem has already been identified for years, this phenomena. Years ago, it used to take a lot longer until they would actually figure out what the problem was. As man is there, it's figured out fairly quickly. You don't even have to go to the doctor for this. You simply go to the pharmacy and you get an ovulation test. And the woman just checks her urine for a couple of days, and she'll see exactly when she's ovulating. She does 2-3 months in a row, and she realizes 2-3 months in a row she's ovulating on day 10, and she goes for day 14, so she better go to the doctor, because otherwise nothing's going to happen. She'll never become pregnant. So Shlomo Zalman already dealt with this problem. The good news with this man is that if this is the only problem, this is usually a fairly simple problem to deal with. Some medication could, play around with the cycle a little bit and push the cycle off a little bit, and that's usually the first thing the doctors do today. This is the least of the problems in terms of infertility issues. One of the least complicated issues. But the days of Shlomo Zalman, this paper was written, so they didn't have these kinds of medication to deal with this. So this is the problem. How do you deal with this problem? How do you deal with this issue? So already in Europe, the Polskim were addressing this issue. They already were aware of this phenomenon. And there was actually a suggestion that was made that maybe a throwback to some of the things we learned earlier, maybe. Sounds radical. Maybe the woman doesn't have to count Shavuot and Kiyum. Because after all, Min HaTorah, most of the time, depending on how her cycle was, but it's quite possible that Midaraisa, Shiva's Yom Tiyah B'Nidasa. The counting of Shavuot and Kiyum, Min HaTorah, is sometimes necessary and sometimes not. And very often, it's only required Midarabbanan. So in the normal circumstances, it's required. Some folks can raise the question, maybe you could do away with Shavuot and Kiyum. So let the woman, in effect, observe it was neither Deraisa. She gets her period, so she counts 7 days. And when the 7 days are up, she stops bleeding, she goes to the mikvah. So she'll get to the mikvah by day 8, not going until day 10, and then Shalom by Yisrael. So that suggestion was actually posed in Europe, and there was one posek who actually bought into that, and the overwhelming majority of the posek said, Mishum Banu Bofen, or Moshe said, Mishum Banu Bofen, you can't do that. It's nothing to discuss. You can't violate this, a din, there are abundant, that's Kavua, Chekul, Yavar, even Bavokon Perivia, we're not going to be bound to the din of Shivinikiyah. So that idea was basically been rejected. So what can you do? So Shlomo Zalman suggested the following. You do very simple, in theory very simple, very simple. The woman won't become an Eden in the first place. She's getting a period. We're not going to remove a period. If you give her something to stop her from getting a period, that's going to be birth control. She won't be able to become pregnant anyway. So we want her to medically get a period, but not halakhically to get a period. How can you pull that stunt? Says Shlomo Zalman, Shpeh Feres. We're going to have a doctor insert the shofaris into her body before she gets her period. The shofaris will be in for the 5, 6, 7 days, and all the blood will come through the tube, through the catheter, whatever you want to call it. The blood's going to come out through the tube. It's all going to be okay. Everything's going to be shalom yisrael. That was what Shlomo Zalman suggested. It took Shlomo Zalman 50 pages to write up a kuntras to try to explain how that's going to work. So the first thing Shlomo Zalman says is that this will never work according to the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. According to Shulchan Aruch HaRav, forget it, it's not going to work. Because according to Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the whole tour, the whole Mitahir of Shofaris is because the Shofaris is causing the bleeding. So that makes sense when it's not a regular period. If it's a regular period, you're going to stick in a Shofaris and have the regular period go through the Shofaris. That's a joke. That's a litzavis according to Shulchan Aruch HaRav. That's not called Shulchan Aruch HaRav. But, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, according to me, that my group of poskim, that Shiloh Kederech is defined as such because the blood is not touching the kosel, Bais Achitzam, that the blood is all coming through the tube and nothing's going externally, nothing's touching the outer walls. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, if you put the tube in, And that's where the blood goes. No blood goes outside. Everything comes through the catheter. Everything comes to the tube. So then she never became an Edna. If she never became an Edna, she doesn't wear the mikvah. She can be with the husband. The bleeding will stop. Day 6, day 7, you take the catheter out, and she's muteras labayla, and then she can hopefully become pregnant. So Shlomo Zalman said, we have to be careful. Where does this tube have to go to? So it doesn't have to go into the uterus, that's what he said, but it has to go to the pesach of the uterus. It has to go up to that moment, to that point of truth. Where is that point of truth? So here Shlomo Zalman comes up with another big kula, and he says, we know what the uterus is, and we know what the vaginal area is, but there's a little something, a couple of centimeters in between, called the cervix. Is the cervix considered to be halachically part of the uterus, or is the cervix considered to be outside of the uterus? Might ask Karina. If the cervix is outside of the uterus, so then this tube has to go into our body, through the cervix, in all the way through the cervix, and has to end up at what we call the interior os, the interior opening between the uterus and the cervix. The tube has to be placed there, because the blood cannot enter the cervix. The minute the blood enters the cervix, it's over, it's done, it's history. Putting a tube 2 inches further down is not going to help you. But, says Rosh Hashanah, if you hold that the cervix is part of the uterus, so she doesn't technically become a Re'ez Nidus until it goes to the exterior, until it exits the entire cervix, then you put a tube in, that's a much smaller tube. It's a much less deep tube. It doesn't have to go all the way through the cervix. Medically, that's going to be a much easier tube, comfortably more. That's going to be a better tube to be in there. You want a tube there, you want a catheter in there for 5 days, so that's going to be easier to swim. So Rosh Hashanah writes another 20 pages to prove that he thinks that the exterior as to the outer opening of the cervix is the point of truth, and the tube only has to go there. So you don't even have, you can put a tube in, she's getting a regular period, and the tube doesn't have to go into the uterus, doesn't even have to go to the cervix. Just put it in, a couple of inches, not a doctor, as far as it has to go, and show Allah Yisrael. Both of those Likudos of Rosh Hashanah are highly controversial. The first assumption of his was against the Shulchan Harav and many other posts, because the whole thing is l'hoi dvar yolam. If the bleeding is coming from a regular period, all the tubes in the world aren't going to help. That's the first objection. The second objection was they thought that the spacing, the placing of the tube was not correct. There were earlier posts, some Sofer and others, that's not true, that the cervix is not part of the uterus. The uterus ends when the uterus ends, and the cervix is ready to vice the chitzon. And if so, it's going to be a lot more difficult. You have to stick the tube even further in. So this was a suggestion, 70, 80 pages of Shlomo Zalman wrote on Azak Puntras to try to come up with this idea. I don't know whether anyone actually did it. I have no idea whether medically it was even practical to do it. I have no clue. But Tachlis and Tavshinai and Zion, nobody does this. No, to the best of my knowledge, I'm not sure this was ever done by anybody to circumvent the Chasnida. It could be a combination of the whole thing was based on two big Chidushim and through practically, medically. I don't know how feasible this whole thing was altogether. To have this tube stuck in for a week. I don't know whether it was ever really practically done, but in theory, Rosh Hashanah came up with this idea as a response to this problem and invoking this very unique halach of Dam Shofar. So here you get an example of, you read this Gemara, you think, what is it? I'm talking about Dam Shofar, who's putting shofarses in for a week. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. Sometimes it takes technology a chance, you know, a couple of years, a couple of centuries to catch up with the lumdus, with the sugyas in the Gemara. It's like Lamashim, it's a sugya. The Gemara talks about him, it's if you take a person and put him inside a box and close him up and throw him over a cemetery, is he tamei or tahor? So Gemara says, how much is that tamei about that? So you read that Gemara, and nothing else to talk about, putting people in boxes and closing them up. And then you realize 2,000 years later, that's what a plane is. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu put the chokmas atayr in a way that the theoretical questions were discussed, even though the Lamais applications come a little bit later. So again, practically speaking, we don't do this. What they do Bisman is they're able to hopefully try to maneuver the medications a little bit, to try to play with the ovulations, timing, to try to get around this problem. At least this creative idea was suggested by Shlomo.
How does the woman know where the tube is? I mean, back in time, you saw Shlomo Zalman.
Yeah.
How does she
know?
No,
she's not.
The doctor didn't even those days know. I mean, they didn't have the little cameras
right,
that they go in there.
Right,
how can they tell if it's the beginning of the service?
Yeah, I have it here. Asking the wrong guy.
What about her, Tasha? I mean, she feels as though she's bleeding.
It doesn't matter.
It's not coming out.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. She'll look it up. She'll look it up for you. It doesn't matter.
And even though if it's really a risk factor,
every 28 days, well, you wouldn't be choshish anyway, unless you're on a sort of life.
No, that's asbestos. No, this is, but that's asbestos. Right. This is talking about Re'ez Nidus de'oraisa. So the Zalman says we're gonna get her to the doctor right before she gets her period, and the day before she gets her, we'll stick the tube in, and then for the next week we'll keep the tube in, and she'll bleed. Doesn't matter.
Well, those first few days she'll be able to. Why?
Well,
she always used to see on the first of the month.
No, so. No, not. She always see. No, when I say the first, I didn't mean the first of the month.
No, she would
have a. No, so she would ever, whenever she suspects her period's coming, she'd run to the doctor. The doctor would stick the tube in for the next 8 days, and she, that was the sequence.